This is Biz. I'm a stay-at-home mom with a baby boy and a daughter who's a full-blown kid.
And I'm Teresa, a part-time working mom with two little boys.
This is a show about life after giving life. Don't listen with your kids, because there will be swears. This is One Bad Mother. This week on One Bad Mother, keeping it clean. Plus, we're joined by Emily Oster, economist and author of Expecting Better.
Woo!
Happy birthday!
It's my birthday! I'd like everybody to know, coincidentally, it is our 40th show and my 40th birthday.
I mean,
that's something cosmic,
that's
right?
That's amazing.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, especially since we missed so many episodes, like just enough to make it work out perfectly.
I know. It's not like we.
In fact, we may not even be sure this is really the 40th.
Right. So nobody geek out and try and figure it out.
Yeah.
I may have been calling the same show 39 for like the last couple of episodes.
Yeah, me too.
But we do have wine today.
Yes.
Teresa brought the wine.
Well, I mean, it's the least I could do. It is your birthday.
It's the very least you could do. No, it's great. So it was very exciting. We're all back.
Yep.
I just want to take a moment before checking in with you, Teresa, to say that it was so great to be back last week. In listening to the show, we may have sounded a little stretched thin.
Mm-hmm.
I may have sounded very stretched thin.
A little bit at the end of your rope.
A little
there.
Bit into the rope. 5 weeks after having a baby. I don't know why. But I wanted to thank everybody. We had a lot of really nice emails from listeners and tweets from emails and calls from listeners. I think I just said a word that didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense, but I think we got
you got
what
it.
You were going for.
We want to say thank you. But I also want to point out that we also, Teresa, got a lot of emails and comments that went something like this. Biz, you know, hang in there. Teresa, hang in there. Oh, but I heard that little baby cooing. I want to have another baby.
Yeah.
How could you listen to that show? We got so many people saying
they didn't
they
listen to anything
wanted.
We said.
No.
All they heard was Ellis's adorable little peeps while he was nursing. They just, everything else ended up being a blur, and all they heard were those little newborn noises.
You guys were like, I want newborn.
Yeah. I know.
It floored me when I got these emails.
I know.
But
what is wrong with our brains?
I don't know. Teresa, how are you?
Oh, I am a little more tired than I was last week. I decided to stop co-sleeping three nights ago because it was getting to be, he's 11 weeks now, and I can tell that he was just like, okay, this is how life is going to be forever now.
Yeah.
And so he would only fall asleep nursing and during the day, too. And I was like, okay, this is not sustainable.
Right.
So I think I have to stop co-sleeping as much as I like it.
Yeah.
So I've had him in the bassinet right next to my bed for the last three nights. And he's totally taking to it. Like,
yeah.
it's working. You know, he's still young enough that
sure.
he's, you know, you can switch things up a little bit. But the only problem is, like, when he wakes up, you know, five times a night, I have to actually get
up out of
with
bed.
Him, go
yeah.
sit in a chair, nurse, get him back to sleep, and or at least put him back to bed when he's willing to go back to sleep in his
right.
bed. And it's a little bit rough, especially in the early morning hours.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's, you know, 3 a.m. and then again at 4, then again at 5. And I'm just like, mother. And I'm like, why,
yeah.
why am I doing this again? Why can't I just bring him into the bed? Like, I
yeah.
it's so hard to, like, hold on to that willpower.
It is.
So I'm a little, it kind of makes you grumpy when you're not
makes
getting
you,
the
makes you a little grumpy.
It really does make you grumpy.
You're down in
you're
the
just,
grumps.
You're grumpy. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's no good. That's,
yeah.
that's kind of bad.
So that's where I'm at.
I'm sorry.
I'll get through
but it's
it.
But it's gonna be so good long term. I'm not
oh,
even
yeah.
gonna use one of my crazy voices. That's in
yeah,
reality,
no,
it will
better.
Be good long term.
Yeah, no, it's. I feel good about it. It's just really
hard,
really fucking hard.
I call that momming up.
Yeah,
you know, where there's days
up.
Where you're just like,
yeah.
I don't really want to do this.
Yeah,
but there's that voice in you that says, "Mom up and
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
Just get up." and do it.
Yeah.
And it's not the best because it's like, in my head, it's always like, it's just 2 weeks of this.
Right.
You can do this for, and if it's 2 weeks, it's not working, reevaluate.
Right.
But give yourself the time and just commit to the misery for the 2 weeks.
Right.
And then all will be well.
Everything will be fine.
Everything will be great.
He'll be totally sleeping through the night by then.
Oh, absolutely. So we, at Monday, horrible emotional breakdown on air. That was great. Mm-hmm. And then I had 3 days of him being like, actually, the last couple of days, he's been great. He's slept in these huge chunks and he's been sweet. And there's been less crying on the changing. And I thought, we've turned the corner.
Yeah.
But what we've turned the corner into is apparently a baby who just, it's like this kind of fussing now. Where it's like less screaming, but it's like constantly, I am so miserable all the time. I don't want to be the dad. I don't want to be picked up.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing will make me happy. Don't pick me up.
That's
put me
not
down.
Too bad.
Pick me down. Pick me up.
That's manageable.
Oh, no. That's like all day.
Okay.
Like all day.
Okay.
Like, it's all day. And here's the bad part. It's kind of creeping into our night because our night's been pretty peaceful of chunk. Feed, chunk of sleep, feed. Immediately goes back to sleep. Not a big deal. And
It's just working like, through something.
He's clearly, he is always working on
a big poop.
He's always working on a big poop, everybody. Lost 800 listeners. Okay. Speaking of pooping.
Yeah.
This week, we are going to be talking about keeping it clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not our language.
And not our... I would also like to mention that last week, I may have used the word fuck more than I used the entire season.
Really?
Oh, my. It was worse than my uhs.
I can't believe
I dropped that bomb.
I totally did not notice.
Every statement. So, again, we don't care. We warned you at the beginning of the show. But that's not the kind of clean we're talking about. We're talking about cleaning house, cleaning kids. Cleaning out. I don't know. Whatever the fuck.
Please take a moment to remember, if you're friends of the hosts of One Bad Mother, you should assume that when we talk about other moms, we're talking about you.
If you are married to the host of One Bad Mother, we definitely are talking about you.
Nothing we say constitutes professional parenting advice.
Biz and Teresa's children are brilliant, lovely, and exceedingly extraordinary.
Nothing said on this podcast about them implies otherwise.
Keeping it clean as a mom. Mm-hmm. Did anything change for you when you had Oscar? Did you suddenly feel more pressure?
With Oscar or with Simon?
I mean,
I know.
Whoever. With Simon.
Whoever.
With the first one. We don't care
about
him anymore.
One.
The
All
first
right.
one, yeah. With Simon.
Yeah, definitely. I think the main thing for me was previously I had everything had its place.
Right.
And now, and then like once, not immediately when he was born, but once, you know, he started getting into stuff and moving around and having his own things, I really just had to breathe through and accept the fact that things don't necessarily have their place and things are just going to be, because otherwise I would probably be making his life miserable. And I know I would be miserable because I'd be following him around putting stuff back like all day long. I mean, literally all day long. That would be enough to fill an entire day.
Oh, yeah.
All moments of every day. So
what about, did you become like germaphobic or anything? Were you like wiping stuff
I've never had a problem with that.
Yeah.
I've never been germaphobic. I have dogs and they're dusty and dirty. That's not really a thing for me. The only time I did kind of get a little bit crazy with like the antibacterial hand gel was when I was pregnant with Oscar and Simon started bringing stuff home from daycare. And like, I think it was like my first trimester when I really had morning sickness really bad anyway.
Yeah.
And then we kept catching things from Simon. So Jesse and I and Simon were all sick like one after another for like, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks or something.
Oh,
and that is when I started to feel germs every time I went in and out of his daycare center or like picked him up.
Yeah.
And I went a little insane and got like hand sanitizer and like placed it all around the house, like right in the front door when you first walk in.
Right.
And like, and now we're a little, just because we have a newborn, like we're a little bit more careful about, you know, every time you come into the house, everybody has to wash their hands.
Right.
But
what about like house clay? Does it like make you crazy? I mean, do you stay on the dishes in the sink? Do you stay on the laundry? Do you feel that kind of pressure to like?
I don't really accept that. With when you have two kids and you have two adults and there's people in the house all day, if you don't do the dishes at least once a day, everything is over. Everything is a disgusting mess for like there's no way to catch up.
Exactly.
So you kind I guess like I am a little bit of a stickler for like and just I mean Jesse is too. Like once a day the dishes have to be done.
Is it a fairly do you guys see clean the same way? I had somebody tell me once. I had a friend tell me once. They were like, look, you get into like a marriage or whatever, you're never going to see the same clean as your partner.
No. Yeah.
And you can't be mad at your partner for not seeing the clean because they just don't see it. Like, I mean, you could both see a dish in the sink and one person's going to be like, I'm clearly going to get that at the end of the day. And the other person's going to put it away right then.
Right.
And you just have to accept which you are.
Yeah.
And let the rest of it go.
I mean, Jesse is, I'll tell you, and then I want to hear what you guys do. But, like, Jesse, he's great about pitching in and doing, you know, he'll do the dishes and clear the dishwasher and all that. He'll clean up after dinner, even if he made dinner a lot of times.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, he'll do the dishes, but he doesn't ever wipe down the countertops or clean the sink.
Those things just aren't part.
And for me, like, if I'm doing the dishes, the whole point of it is for the kitchen to, like, feel clean.
Yes.
I don't know if it really is clean, but, like, it feels clean. And so there aren't, like, you know, there isn't, like, grease around from the cooking or crumbs or, like...
Or the dirt from washing the dishes that's all
because when I get up in the morning and I go in there to make my coffee, if I can, like, smell the dinner from the night before, it's really disturbing to me. I can't deal with that.
Well, also, you want to... There's, I think in general, my attitude or both... I think both Steph and I both feel the same way. The attitude is you want to have it nice, at least a clean start the next morning.
Yeah,
a little bit.
There's something about like starting off
kind of. I mean, it's gonna be trashed by like 10 minutes after you've been woken up.
Yeah,
I always liked to clean.
Uh-huh.
I always found it kind of therapeutic.
Yeah.
And then once I had Catherine Bell, it became even more therapeutic, and I realized it had totally everything to do with control.
Uh-huh.
There were so many things in my life I could not control, especially once having a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I could sweep that floor.
Mm-hmm.
I could start on one side of the house and get all the way to the other, and you know, like, everything could just be like done. Even if she was marching right behind me, trashing everything as I went, it didn't matter. I could clean. I could again task oriented. I could pick my task. And do it.
Well, so the doing was what felt good to you. Like, bother you that, like, you put in all this time and then it's destroyed 2 seconds later?
Nah, rarely. The only time that kind of gets to me is if we're going to have somebody come over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, a lot of times I'll clean the night before and then I'm just, like, absolutely amazed how just having breakfast and trying to get out the door to school. There's literally a trail of things from one end of the house to the other. Like, I just was like,
it's amazing.
How does this? Ah!
I know. And then,
but I'm with you. I like things. That said, I can very easily leave a pot in the sink overnight if I'm super tired.
Yeah,
soaking.
Sure.
Stefan
yeah.
cannot.
Oh.
See, now Stefan, again, he's like Jesse, not a wiper down, not the small detail man, not a small detail man, not a wipe down. The sinks, I mean, the counters or the sinks after cleaning, but he'll scrub that pot clean.
Huh.
You know,
he just wants all the dishes to be done.
Right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, exactly. As opposed to...
Like, this one's soaking. And...
Right. He doesn't care if the floor is covered in popcorn. If there's a trap. But those dishes will be clean.
Yeah.
He can kind of, like, I think, tolerate it a little bit more than me while... And I think it's especially bad when I'm sitting nursing all day and I'm just sitting there staring at the house.
Staring at it.
And I'm like, I know that was dusted. Did I not dust that? Am I just raining dust all the time? What is this? And I also wonder if there is a new pressure for moms. Like, once you have the kid, is there some sort of pressure that's put on us by the rest of the world that suddenly, even if you're working full time, even if you're all these things... There's something about homekeeper. And there's a housekeeper that kind of comes with mom.
Yeah.
That, like, your home's supposed to always be nice and, like, clean and bright.
Fuck that.
I mean, I know I'm doing it for control issues and for, you know, for totally reasons other than keeping it clean for my family.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm doing this so that I don't, like, freak out on my family.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know it. I know it. That said, whenever I would clean the house before, when after I had her, I definitely kind of upped the cleaning when people were coming over because I didn't want people to think that I was raising my child in a house that was disgusting.
Well, and you want it to some extent, you want to show like, I'm doing it. Like, I have a kid and I have a husband and I can keep the house clean. Like, I can do the
That's
stuff.
Right. That Would I'm, you like some cheese straws? Yeah. And, you know, I made some lemonade from scratch.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever, no matter how much I cleaned, Catherine Bell, Stefan's parents would come over to the house. Catherine Bell would be crawling. She would crawl to the one corner that was disgusting.
Of course.
It's like a corner. It's like behind stuff. Yeah. It's like it's completely not visible. That's where she'd go. And that's where they would go to like talk to her and pick her up. It's just like sticky and cat hair and some cat food that had made it all the way across the room. And like just things that you're like, how did I miss this?
Yeah.
And it's just the worst.
And then you're like trying to like herd people away from that corner.
Right, everybody over here.
Let's.
Cheese straws. Yeah. They're over here. But okay. But so, and my concern is, and it's going to lead us right into the children one, is my concern is that they're going to think I'm disgusting.
Yeah.
And that I'm letting my child grow up in a disgusting, germ-filled garbage juice house.
Yeah.
But does that really matter for the kids? I mean, like, how much? I mean, do I care?
Yeah.
I'm like you. I've got cats. I assume that both of my children will have ingested a pound of cat hair before their first birthday. And we got cat litter in that house.
I know.
You know, cats aren't wearing shoes.
Yeah.
You know, like, occasionally, that stuff gets tracked around. I mean, you keep it clean. You do everything. We're not living in a hoarder's house. But, it's cats.
Yeah, it happens.
It's cats.
Yeah.
It's dogs.
Yeah.
They're not clean.
No.
So how did you, what's your opinion? I think with kids, there's sort of two lines of thinking.
Yeah.
Or schools of cleaning.
Yeah.
One is, how do you let your kid be messy?
Right.
And do you let them be messy in the house? Do you let them be messy outside and then come in the house?
Yeah.
Is messy good?
Yeah.
Versus teaching them how to clean up after themselves.
Yeah. Because don't you, I just feel, as much as I enjoy having a clean space, I feel so miserable when I'm trying to stop Simon from getting messy or making a mess when he's playing.
Yeah.
He's obviously not going around just trying to make things messy.
He's drawing on the walls, per
se. No, no. He's trying to play. He's playing, and that's good for him.
Yes.
And so if I'm trying to, manage that even a little bit. Like if I'm trying to be like, no, we don't play with that over here. Don't touch this, and you know, let's pull this stuff out over and set it up here with the tablecloth. And I mean, it just makes me miserable. So
I think
like,
it's very freeing when you can let go of that. I agree. I do agree that. I mean, and this is another difference between Stefan and I. He's very. He does not like to walk in and always see the creative process happening in the middle of the floor. That can kind of stress him out a little bit. I, on the other hand, know I'm going to have to clean it up anyway, so might as well let him do it.
Yeah.
And again, there's no permanent markers in the house.
No.
You know, so I kind of agree that we did just buy a new house, so there are a couple of rooms I'm a little like, carpet.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, well, it's carpet.
Yeah.
It'll all come up.
Yeah.
That's why they invented Pinterest.
Yeah.
To teach you how to get rid of every stain and every glue and everything that's out there, right?
Yeah.
So I'm with you. I think there is, I also want Catherine Bell to get filthy outside.
Right?
I had the whole idea of sending your kids to like school clean and expecting them to come home the same way.
No.
I had a lot of people say to me, that's such a nice dress. Why are you letting her go outside in it? And I'm like, because she's going to outgrow it in 2 months.
That's what it's for.
Just a dress.
Yeah.
And I would much rather, while she's torn up in the whole, like, torn up between the princess world and playing world and all the stuff that I don't necessarily get into.
Yeah.
I don't want to add to it by making her think that clothing has an importance to it.
Right.
Or a look has an importance to it. Or beauty is somehow wrapped up in being clean and pristine and nice the whole time. As opposed to just, you know, digging in mud.
Well, and it would prevent her from being able to have those experiences, too.
Exactly.
Because if she's preoccupied with keeping herself clean, she's not going to do stuff at school.
Yeah.
And like, the whole point of being at school is to do stuff.
Do stuff. That's exactly
I was thinking about this actually on the way over here, and how, like, it gives me such a weird thrill every time I pick up Simon from school and he and his classmates are like disgusting. Like, they're covered in like matted, they're doing mud stuff and they have mud caked on their, in their fingernails and they have like pink in their hair and just like it gives me a thrill. And I was like thinking about how it would be so easy for their teachers to make me think that they were doing stuff all day by just like taking like some mud and like throwing it at my kid at 4 o'clock before I come pick him up. Like,
that's true. She came home yesterday as if she was like a witness to a murder. I mean, she just was like splattered all down her face. Like, there are a lot of times she comes home and I'm like, is that paint? Yeah, mom, it's just paint. It's not blood.
Yeah.
The child loves to talk about blood.
Oh, that's cool.
She's great. Yeah. She does. She's very like, this is how my intestines work, and this is where, anyway, she's very, we watch a lot of Magic School Bus now.
Okay.
So you got to get messy is the immediate statement. So I'm like, great, let's go get messy. I'm totally also, are you happy to get messy with him if you guys are in it?
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
I am too.
I feel like that's fun. And then like the cleaning up is part of it too.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah, cleaning up is part of it. And I think it's a great way to get them to learn about cleaning up.
Yeah. That's
that is
true,
how
too.
You oh, I wasn't even that thinking in, of that.
Yeah.
As opposed to it being two totally separate. I mean, you know, at one, what are they going to do? Not a lot.
Right. Yeah.
But once they start hitting like two-ish, once they start grabbing stuff, you know, you've talked about turning it into a game.
Mm-hmm.
Now that Catherine Bell is four, she definitely has cleaning responsibilities. Like she knows if we've been playing outside in the mud, those shoes have to come off. They can't. She knows to not come into the house with that. And that's okay. That's not ruining her life.
Yeah.
That's letting her have the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Though, I do wonder if, and there are probably parents out there who have older kids who are laughing and mocking us right now because as she gets older and I'm more friends are coming over and I start to see literally the mud footprints go through the house. I'm like, oh, as we get older and they get into more exciting adventures outside and a different level of dirt.
Yeah.
That's coming in.
Yeah. And like,
it's going to be different.
And shoes getting like ruined, like where you're just
everything's
like,
ruined.
You know.
Everything's ruined.
Yeah.
Everything's ruined all the time.
Yeah.
I do think it's important that they start learning to clean up after themselves. That they, but again, I think that comes at such like a later time slightly.
I don't know. Like one thing that we have done that has worked pretty well. I will say this is one of those things where I was like, wow, now that I have a baby, why did I think I'd be able to keep this up?
Right.
But we have Simon cleaning up his room is part of the nap time routine and the bedtime routine. So like twice a day, if he's napping at school, it only happens once a day. But like there's at least once a day where you clean up and then you go get in the bath.
Yes.
So it's like cleaning up is just something you do every day. So like I don't have as much freaking out during the day about the mess because I know there is going to be a designated time and he knows that it's coming. But I will say it's really hard when you have like a crying baby to like convince a 2-year-old to clean up.
Yeah, two's hard. Because now at four, we can just tell Catherine Bell, you're not getting X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
And we will hold dinner as long as we have to hold dinner. You know, you clean it. And then I really enjoyed listening to her. Like, she'll play with Legos and there'll be Legos all over the place. And she'll say, I can't possibly clean this up. And I'm like, what? Were you able to empty them all in the box?
Yeah.
Yes. Do you have hands?
Yeah.
Yes. Then you most certainly can pick these all up.
I totally remember that feeling.
Yeah,
like,
is it possible?
Yeah, I can't.
This is the well. Then say goodbye. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the follow up to it. This is such a Catherine Bell. Like she is going to be so much trouble in a way that I both fear and admire.
Uh-huh.
So the rule is you clean your room, and when you think it's clean, you come get us. And if there's anything left out or not put away, it's gone. It's gone for like 2 days.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, that's a good
right, just
track.
Gone. Yeah. There's a dress on the floor, it's gone.
Yeah.
Game on the floor, it's gone. So I'm
at
like,
Simon's age, he would just forget that it existed.
Right.
It would have no effect.
Exactly. So Catherine Bell says, okay, Catherine Bell's time to clean up. She says, it's clean. I was like, you have not even gone in there. And I did just go in there. And I know you've got stuff on the floor. Like there's, you know, sneaky, snacky squirrel game is on the floor.
Yeah.
And the dress is on the floor.
Yeah.
There's this pause. And she goes, how long would you take that away?
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
God.
We would take it away for, oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
You don't get to decide that you can live
She's
without the
deciding.
Game for 2 days.
Yeah.
I could not clean up and just live without the
and
shit.
And live without the thing. Yeah.
Which I was like,
I'm kind of done with it for a while. I'm kind of sick of it right now anyway.
I was like, no. Everything gets cleaned up. You don't get to barter
that's so
punishment.
Funny.
But I was just like, holy
Yes. Okay, so I just want to say one other thing. I feel like I was like, geez, why do I feel like I'm like acting like I have this totally under control?
And
I was
I
was like, wait a minute, I don't have it under control, because the problem that we have is that he has so many little toys he's into, and they all like they're exciting for like a few days,
yeah,
and then they go into like the vast stew of his toy chest,
yes,
never to be seen again.
Two is still the perfect time to weed these things out.
And but that's like everything that he had, and even my parents got him Magnetiles for Christmas, which are amazing.
Yeah.
Like it's a great toy. He's totally into it, but there's so many, and the pieces show up here and there.
Yeah.
And he starts using some with his kitchen and pretending that it's food, and he starts using some in the bedroom and pretending that it's money. And that's how it is with everything. Like little animals, like everything becomes part of like an imaginary game, and
yeah,
so it can be many different things, and so there's no the food stuff, like once a month I go like, all the food stuff is gonna go in his toy kitchen, and all of the blocks are gonna go in this one little backpack, and I do it, and then it's over 2 days later. Again, everything is in the stew.
But it's amazing for those two
days. But he doesn't even think of things that way.
Yeah, well, see, but I just I assume there's also the garbage. Just garbage.
True.
You go out to a restaurant.
Sure, and they get
and there's
a little,
like a little crown, and it's totally a piece of garbage.
I tend to get rid of that stuff like
well, she holds
really
on, and we have like
fast.
A stack of like musical birthday cards and stuff. She loves, you know?
Oh, God.
But like up until the end of two, I was able to go in every once in a while and just garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage.
There's stuff,
and just threw it away.
Secretly,
and then if she ever happened to ask about it, I'd be like, I don't know, I haven't seen it in a long time. She keep her room cleaner. And then, but now she remembers. She remembers like the smallest piece of garbage.
Right.
You know, there was it's a sticker, but it's a star, and it's pink. It was part of my hat, and it dropped, and it.
Yeah.
And I'm just
there's so many things like that. He had some like, little cardboard game pieces.
Garbage.
There was something that kept showing. Where's the picture of Piglet? And I'm just like, I don't know where they are. They're really little. And
yeah.
I need to put them back in the such. I don't think that's what it's for.
That's
so I don't know.
Go play with those things over there. Go give these to your brother to joke on. I know,
is the hard part.
That
I
is
think.
The hard,
like
yeah.
just seeing all the stuff kind of just always being there and kind of always coming out
Let me wrap up on this. I try and send myself back when I start to get crazy. My general rule is go back in time.
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember your parents doing?
Yeah,
and what do you remember your life being like? And I remember. My parents never came in and were like, this isn't how I would keep my room. Because I find myself doing that. I'm like, all your dolls should be right here.
Right, yeah.
And no, you can't cut her hair off. Even though I shaved all my Barbie's hair off and drew with black markers on their faces.
Of course.
Right? But like Catherine Bell's like, I want to cut off Rapunzel's hair. And I'm like, nah! I'm an idiot. Then I was like, let it go. Do whatever you want. But now they made me clean my room. Like every weekend it was cleaning your room. And I used to, she has not figured out shoving stuff under the bed yet, which is some sort of miracle because that was my big.
Yeah.
Closet and under the bed, clean.
Yeah.
And then my dad would be like, no. But outside of that, however I wanted to organize it, however I wanted to clean it, however I wanted to do the stuff that I mean, once it was in my room and it was my toy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They never
tried
made
to control.
Me, yeah, try yeah. to control the toy experience.
Yeah.
And so I try and like rein that back in when I feel myself doing it. I'm like, you want to keep all your stuffed animals in a giant pile next to your bed so you can't open the closet? Fine.
Yeah.
Fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
Is my room clean?
Yeah.
No, because I'm too busy focusing on your room.
Yeah.
You know? So like, I got to let it go. So, I mean, what did your parents, were they micromanagers or did they just let you Do you have fond
memories?
I'm
pretty sure they let me do stuff.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I don't have strong memories about things needing to be like, I feel like things were relatively clean. Yeah. I feel like we didn't have that much stuff. I feel like Simon and Jesse and I have a shitload of stuff. And, like, I feel like we didn't have that when I was little.
Yeah, we do have, Catherine Bell's got a lot of stuff. We keep weeding. Like, every time a big holiday or birthday comes, we do some weeding.
Yeah.
Like, I make her do a little, like, or, like, I think I've said this on the show before. It goes in a box and goes in the garage. And if it's not asked for a while, then I revisit it with her.
Yeah.
And say, look, we haven't looked at this in a long time. If there's, like, one thing you want, great. But otherwise, you know, it's going to Ellis or it's going, you know, out the door.
But does that work? Because I feel like then as soon as they see it, they're like, that thing that I...
Yeah, but then she usually gets over that. If it's that thing, if it's, like, that hyped about it, usually it's only one thing in the box.
Oh, okay.
And usually after 2 days, I can go back and say, do you really want this?
Yeah.
She's like, no.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right.
Cool.
So I just, like, let it go.
All right. So maybe we have that to look forward to.
Yeah. I started doing this with her kind of early because I didn't want it to be a surprise later.
Yeah.
So,
that's true. I feel like that's also a good lesson, like letting go of stuff. Too.
Yeah. It's
that's
just time to look at. Do you really need this? Do you really not? You've got other things now that you have more fun with. If you really want to keep it, fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got drawers and stuff that she just hasn't opened, like a drawer that she hasn't opened.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, I really like it. And that's the other thing is I really like it and I want her to keep it, but I got to let that go too. Speaking of letting go, do you know what makes it a lot easier?
What?
Wine. I'm going to have some more now. Cheers.
I'm Carrie Poppy.
I'm Ross Blotcher.
And we make a show.
Oh no, Ross and Carrie.
Oh no.
We investigate fringe science.
Spirituality.
Religious groups.
Alternative therapies.
We put ourselves through a lot of uncomfortable situations.
So that you don't have to.
Because really, why would you?
For example, I watched a tube be inserted into Ross's anus.
That's true, but it sounds terrible out of context. We've tried penis and breast enlargement pills.
We spent 6 months undercover becoming Mormons.
We hung out with the 9/11 truthers.
The UFO cult, the Raelians.
And we're going to do more.
It's one of the newest shows on MaximumFun.org.
Hey, you know what it's time for? This week's Genius and Fails. This is the part of the show where we share our genius moment of the week, as well as our failures, and feel better about ourselves by hearing yours. You can share some of your own by calling 206-350-9485. That's 206-350-9485.
Teresa.
Yes?
Genius time.
Oh, great.
In the last week since I've spoken to you.
I've been racking my brain. Trying to figure out something good that I've done at all. Not just genius. I'm lowering the bar. Just something good.
I will give you genius bringing wine to the studio today.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty genius.
That's pretty genius to me.
Cool.
Great.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I saw what you did.
Oh, my God.
I'm paying attention.
Wow.
You, Mom, are a genius.
Oh, my God. That's fucking genius.
I made dentist appointments prior to having a baby.
Hey, I did too.
Because I knew there's no way that they said, oh, we'll send you a reminder and you can call me. I said, I'm going to have a 2-month-old baby around that time. I don't think there's any way that's going to happen. Why don't I make those appointments now?
Yeah.
And, this is all kind of related to, remember that rant that we got way back in the day that was like, the woman was like talking about her husband who was flossing his teeth.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
she's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, it must be so nice to floss your teeth. That's like one of my favorite rants ever. But yes. I totally like got that because I remembered when Simon was a newborn, just like a good day was when I brushed my teeth.
Yeah, I
like,
know.
Brushing was a good day.
Yeah.
And so this time.
That makes me feel so much better.
Oh, yeah. Oh, completely. So this time I vowed that for the first 4 weeks, I would brush my teeth and floss my teeth every day because I was like, worst comes to worst, I will put the baby in the bouncy chair. And if I do it every day, he'll get used to it. You know what I mean? Like, I'll just do it. Because I just knew this is one of those things that just makes you feel terrible about yourself.
Yes.
And if you just do it, then it's done. So dental hygiene is dental my hygiene? Is my genius.
That's very, very good. This is totally reminding me of a brand new fail that I will actually use instead.
Okay, great.
Genius. These aren't out of the park genius moments, guys, but Justified. I think I've mentioned it a few times.
Oh my God.
So when I'm breastfeeding, I just cannot focus on something that long. Because, he's starting, he's stopping. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. I went through a lot of Mythbusters because that's easy. You don't have to really pay attention to what's going on. Mm-hmm. Now that, and I tried to watch Orange is the New Black, but it was a lot of, bosoms being used for things other than breastfeeding.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is distracting.
That is
distracting.
It's
just really
distracting to
me. I'm a little uncomfortable.
Okay.
And so I was like, hey, I watched the first season of Justified a couple of years back. I enjoy that. Yeah. One, super sexy.
Yeah.
Timothy
Olyphant.
My God.
Yeah.
Two, shooting and punching people.
Yeah.
I love.
Yeah.
And three.
Beware, the third season gets a little intense.
Well, that's where I'm in right now. I just started the third season. Because I was like, how are we getting into the third season after, the whole town of Harlan, went nuts? But before we, don't tell me. Don't
okay.
But before number three of that show is everybody saying ma'am and sir.
Yeah.
And just being like,
even
though they're about to shoot you in the face,
they're
really polite about it.
Yeah.
And again, that just
you
totally,
love that.
I love it. I love it.
It's your culture.
Oh, so my God. I love a good sir, man. I will never be like, don't call me sir, man. So that is I just let go and I watch Justified and I watch it like crack.
That's fantastic.
It's the best.
Great job.
Yeah, it's the best job I could be doing right now.
Cool.
Hi, I am calling with my genius moment. As I call you, I am spending this whole day, pre-birthday, by myself shopping and drinking coffee. And I happily sent my 18-month-old to childcare, and my husband's at work, and I have this whole leisurely day to myself. And I bought some great new clothes, and the best part is I am totally not feeling guilty. So, yay! Thanks,
Mama. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It really is awesome.
The not feeling, setting it up and then not feeling guilty and just loving it.
Yeah.
That's so genius.
So happy birthday to you.
Yeah. Great
job. That's really great. Good job. That is gold.
Yeah.
We all need that.
Mm-hmm.
Failures. Fail. 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 Fail.
You suck.
Failures.
I feel
Teresa.
Really bad about this one. As I said last week, all my fails that I've written down, I notice, are Simon related. Which he's doing great right now. But this was I feel like the baby must have been 4 or 6 weeks old, or maybe somewhere in the first month-ish.
Right.
And this is a cleaning related thing because Simon was playing with my birth ball, which is totally fine, but the front door was open and he rolled it outside. And I had already asked him multiple times not to roll it outside just because it picks up the dust really easily.
Then
it's really hard to get it off.
Yeah.
And so you're just rolling it all back into the house, you know?
Right.
And then it's just dirty. And so.
And also you said don't roll the ball out of the house.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. And so it had happened a couple times, and then he was doing it, and it was too hard for me to get there in time to stop it, and so it got outside, and I was mad, and I was whatever was going on, I was not in a good place. I was just at my wit's end, you know, and so I ran out there and grabbed it, as though once it's out there, it's done what it's gonna do, but I'd stop what I'm doing, I rush out there, I get the ball, and I plow back into the house with it, and I'm kind of going, I said don't, da da da. Well, I ran into him with the ball.
Aww.
And he fell.
Aww.
I mean, he just fell over on his butt, backwards onto his butt, but I was I just fucking ran into my 2-year-old and knocked him over with Simon. I hated myself. It just made me feel so horrible. And of course, he was fine, and I apologized, and we hugged, and it was fine.
Sure, but
horrible.
It's really bad.
It was horrible.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
When you got the chew, especially early on, and that level of stress. I mean, the things that come out of my mouth to every member of my family.
Thank you.
Is awful.
Okay. Thank
you. So, I mean, we're failing miserably. Don't get me wrong. That's horrible.
Yeah. No, but it's nice to know I'm not alone.
No, you're not alone. And thank God for all the calls that we get all the time reminding us how not alone we are. All right, so the new fail, I have a million fails, but the one I'm going to come back to is you were talking about how you made some commitment to yourself to brush your teeth every day.
Uh-huh.
I made a commitment. I remember saying to Stefan, I think I might have even said this as a genius moment months ago that I'd announced to Stefan, I'm going to lay this out really clear before we have this child.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to make my coffee in the morning. I have a little cappuccino machine. I want to make my cappuccino from start to finish, not to be interrupted. This is going to be really important to me.
Uh-huh.
Please help me with
Fuck.
This. Where's I have
this
not done this once. And it's like, so like every day it becomes a failure because I set it up so high. It's like, it's the only thing I'm asking for. Like I've let go of like showers every day. Like I'm just like let go of that kind of thing, which you're like, I shower every day because it's life changing. And it is, but too bad.
Yeah.
The cappuccino machine, absolutely not.
Oh.
Never.
Oh.
Never has it happened.
Well, and
yet.
You know, once it doesn't happen like 3 days in a row, you're just like, well, this isn't worth it.
No. I get like, it just makes me
just
like
devastating
cry
every
and
time
swear
I try. Yeah.
Every time. I'm just like, why can't I make a cup of coffee? Like, it just sends me to a place of rage. Then I just wash that rage down with caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works.
Good.
Yep.
I am currently pregnant with my first child and due November 6th. And I have a fail. I, about a month ago, went up into the woods camping with my husband for one last hurrah. And it was wonderful and beautiful, but there's tons of mosquitoes. And when you're pregnant, you can't use DEET, or so I've heard. So I got this natural mosquito repellent and put it all over me. And I got like a million billion mosquito bites and they're super itchy. So when I got home, I went to use some cortisone cream and found out that I can't use that either when I'm pregnant. So I looked up a natural remedy or a home remedy and found that toothpaste could be put on mosquito bites. So they're mostly on my ankles and feet. And I put toothpaste all over my ankles and feet. And I felt way better. And so I went to bed and I forgot that I had it all over my ankles and feet. And I slept all night long and got a bunch of fuzz balls stuck to all the gross toothpaste spots. And then the next morning I got up and I went to work. I rode the bus with flip-flops on, whole bus ride. I had toothpaste all over my ankles, covered in like bus dirt now and getting grosser and grosser.
Oh.
And then I have been having foot pain, so I went to an orthopedic shoe store that day. Still didn't know I had toothpaste on my feet. And I tried on a bunch of shoes, and I didn't notice that I had toothpaste. And now fuzzballs and dirt all over my feet and ankles until I asked the shoe salesman to buckle my shoes for me. And I looked down, and he was buckling my shoes and looking really, really freaked out and disgusted by my feet and ankles.
Oh my God.
Well, you've had your baby now.
Yeah.
So at least things are better.
Things are better. Things are better
than toothpaste feet.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh
that
my
does.
God. That's
the
really
worst.
Amazing.
It's like how long it went on.
You are the greatest mom I've ever known. I love you, I love you. When I have a problem, I call you on the phone. I love you, I
Teresa.
Love you.
Yes.
Let's call a mom.
Awesome.
We haven't called a mom in a very long
really
time.
Really long time.
I'm really excited. And today we are calling Emily Oster. She is an associate professor of economics at the University of Chicago. She has been a speaker at the 2007 TED Conference, and you can find her works in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Esquire, Slate, all kind of wonderful places. And most importantly, she is the author of Expecting Better, Why the Conventional Pregnancy Wisdom is Wrong and What You Really Need to Know. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you.
One of these days, I'm going to get a little sound effect that's like, woo! But we are very, very excited. So the first thing we always ask our guests before we get into really why they're here to talk to us is, who lives in your house?
Yes, I live in my house first. I live there with my husband, who is also an economist. So it's a little intense. And we have a 2.5-year-old daughter, Penelope, who is not yet an economist, and knock on wood, hopefully will not be. But I guess you never know.
That's right. She maybe she'll turn out like the complete opposite. She'll go, you know, she'll be like a ballet dancer or, you know, something completely.
Yes, to be fair. To be fair, I do have her enrolled in ballet, and I do not think that that is exactly the path that she will be reaching.
Well, it's early.
It's very funny. My daughter as well was like, I want to do ballet. And we got into that first class, and I came home and I said, I don't think we're heading to the stage anytime soon. I don't think we've got a real gift for ballet in the family. So, economist. When I think economist, my initial response goes to, you know, head of the Fed. You know, I mean, like, I think of all these things that don't have to do with pregnancy per se or sort of where you went with this book. So I would love for you, I listen to a lot of Planet Money and Freakonomics, so it's gotten me a little hip on the fact that economists actually do a lot more than just this one thing I think they do. Tell us a little bit about how being an economist works with the type of research that you did on questioning the medical history of what women should and should not be doing when they're pregnant.
Sure. So you know, the genesis of the book is, of course, that I got pregnant, and I think I had an experience that a lot of educated women have, or just a lot of women have. Like, there was a lot of conflicting advice. So it wasn't like I got a consistent set of advice. It was like, this book said this, this book said that. You know, my doctor was like, oh, 2 cups of coffee are fine. This one of the books was like, definitely never have any coffee or die. Like, oh my God, you know what, like, what is going to happen? And so it turns out, you know, a lot of, as you sort of infer from Freakonomics, a lot of economics is really about trying to sort of coax truth out of data, and particularly the kind of economics that I do, which is, you know, data intensive microeconomics, is about exactly the questions that are like, is coffee actually risky? And, you know, that's not the research topic that I have, but the tools you would use to answer that question are the same as the tools that I use to answer the questions that happen in my job. And so as I was kind of going through this process of being pregnant, I ended up spending an unbelievable amount of time just basically taking these tools that I had in my job and applying them in this related, although not identical, setting. And in the end, you know, the book is really about kind of looking at this data and asking the question, what can we learn about, you know, things like, is coffee going to kill you? And, you know, what can't we learn? And how do you make these choices with the best information that we have? And sometimes it turned out there wasn't quite enough information, but often, you know, when you kind of pushed, you got to something which at least told you, here are the pluses of this and here are the minuses, and you need to make this choice for yourself. And I think for me, that was like the biggest thing that came out of this, is the recognition that actually not all women will make the same choices, and that's okay. And by having these rules, we kind of like take away the recognition that people's choices are not all the same, which is, you know, the whole thing about parenting and pregnancy and everything is like, it's sort of for you.
In your book, you talk about how a lot of it sometimes made you feel like a child. And I know that that's something we've discussed on the show, especially while we were pregnant and when we started the show before we got pregnant. It does feel like, you know, you're educated, you've got basically good common sense, you're not an addict, you're none of these things. And suddenly these people are talking to you as if you're not allowed to make the most, like, base of decisions. On almost anything. I mean, it ranges from, you know, food. We just had a call about a woman who had gone camping and she got covered in mosquito bites. And then the call is like her listing all these things she couldn't use to protect herself from mosquito bites.
Or to treat the mosquito.
And she winds up putting toothpaste all over her feet. And I kind of like that we'll all put in enough energy to find out the really weird alternatives, but not necessarily
to find out, like, how, like, whether it would really be that bad to use the stuff that you're supposed to not use.
But I wonder, as you were doing the research, did that initial element of stop treating me like a child and stop treating all these women like children become a really driving force in wanting to find the answers to these questions?
I think it was, although the truth is, like, my heart is really in the research. Like, I love my job. And so I think for me, some of this was just, like, a really fun, like, sort of almost like a detective thing, which is just like, I have to like figure out how this, like, how is this working and like what is really going on here. And so there was a part of it that just, I love doing the research, but I think it is right to say that like some of what spurred me in was just this, you know, the people in line at Starbucks who were like, I hope that's decaf. Yeah. Like, screw you, lady. You know, I hope yours is decaf. Like, get out of my face.
Well, and it's, I think, also, that it's amazing to me, like, to imagine having the tools to suss it all out, because like, who of us has not been like 6 months pregnant, standing in their kitchen, like having half a glass of wine and being like, this is probably okay. This is probably okay. This is probably okay. Like, fuck, what if this isn't okay? I'm not going to do this again. I'm never going to do this again. The next day, like, I can probably do this. I can probably do this. Like,
well, okay, so here's a, okay, so in reading the book and reading all the different things you came across, one of my, like, first questions was, what did your doctor say when you went up to your doctor? Like, I mean, doctors are pretty much used to just telling us what to do. And, you know, I have no fear of doctors. I love doctors. Go, doctors. But a lot of times, I just would love to have been there where you turned to her and were like, well, I'm wondering, what did your doctor say? How did that go?
To be fair, I rarely engaged because it was like, what was I going to do? You know, much of this stuff is like things that are happening in your house. So she's like, yeah, don't have more than 2 cups of coffee. And it's like, okay, well, why do I need to pick a fight about this? Like, I'm just going to go and like make the right choice. I mean, the times we did have kind of like pushback was like some of this sort of medical stuff at the end. So at some point I was like, okay, I'm not going to have the epidural. And they were like, oh, we'll see. We'll see. You'll probably have it. You know, you're gonna. And I was like, okay, I'm not. But it's like, what am I going to do? You know, I can't be like, no, listen, I'll put $50 on it with you. You know, In fact, my husband is like far worse than me. And so we would frequently have these conversations where I was like, do not talk at the doctor. Like, he's like, well, I want to like understand how. I was like, do not talk. Don't talk.
So you're doing the research. Was there anything that really surprised you to be actually true? And was there anything that really disappointed you that was true?
Yeah. What did you find out?
Yeah.
So I think that, let's see, so what surprised me? So I think one thing that surprised me was this, when I looked into this, you talked about cat litter. So I sort of started to look into this cat litter thing. And so it turns out, like, you know, turn this off for your husband now, but like, it turns out actually cleaning the cat litter is okay. it doesn't mean you should have to do it, you know, but it's like not dangerous. But in this sort of, for the same reason that people work at cat litter, actually, like, doing a lot of like outdoor gardening is actually like not a great idea, which is something that I don't think anybody really thinks about and turns out to be right. The thing that I found, to be fair, most disappointing is actually a lot of the food restrictions are pretty overblown. So like sushi is like okay, and some deli meats are okay. Rare meat is not really okay. Which I was disappointed to learn.
That's disappointing. Really, that was disappointing. Because my husband and I like, go back and forth on, but it's, you know, it's, you know, a steak. Yeah. It's, you know, we always ate the burger well.
Yeah.
But the, like, the steak.
Yeah. No, I know. That was kind of one of those, you're like, ah, shoot.
Yeah.
I was really hoping for that.
I'm saying oops to myself right now, too.
Well, now there was something, one of the things that you talk about in terms of the race, like why it's actually hard for people to really give you a concrete answer. Let's do the alcohol one, for instance. This is a great example of this. Why is it so hard for people to give us a specific answer on whether it's okay to drink? And what did you find out about the study that this has all been based on?
Yeah. So the reason that it's hard is, like, in these scientific contexts, the thing we would like the most is like a randomized study where we take a lot of women and like half of them, we tell them, okay, like have a glass of wine every once in a while. And half of them, we tell them don't have any.
Right.
And then you compare their kids. But of course, like there's like an ethical, fortunately in many cases, like a lot of ethical review boards, which would not allow you to do that. And so what these studies do is they compare women who like drink a little bit or drink a lot to women who don't drink at all. And there's the problem is, the sort of central problem is that the kind of women who drink different amounts are different for in other ways.
Right.
And there is actually sort of two factors. One is that women who drink in moderation, like those of us who had like a half a glass of wine a few times in our, you know, in our third trimester, those women tend to actually be like what we'd say positively selected. They tend to be more educated and richer than women who never drink at all. But then women who drink a lot tend to be worse educated, worse, not like worse people, but worse on these sort of these demographic dimensions, less educated, and so on. And so it's hard when you're trying to ask, like, is having a little bit of wine or having a lot of wine like bad for your kid's IQ? You want to try to adjust for these other differences across people, but that turns out to be hard. And sometimes studies do it well, and sometimes they do it less well. And so, you know, when you try to like suss out the truth here, a lot of the art is in figuring out like what's a good study and what's not a good study, and that can be quite subtle.
Right. I think there was. I think in some of the research, some of the women that were polled had also taken cocaine.
Yeah. So this is like the most extreme example of this was like I went looking. Like, so one fact in this literature is there's a tremendous number of papers which show that occasional drinking has no negative effect. Just many, many, many papers. Like many, like I think five of them have come out like since I published the book. So there's a lot of evidence that occasional drinking is okay. Then I found, so I was like, went looking for like, where is like one study that shows that it's not okay? You know, we know that drinking a lot is bad for sure, but like, let me try to find a study that shows that an occasional, like say a drink a day is not good. And there's like this one study that people cite, like from pediatrics. And when you like drill down to what is going on in that study, it's like the women who drink also like, the women who don't drink anything, like 20% of them use cocaine. And the women who drink one drink a day, like 50% of them use cocaine.
Oh my and God.
They don't what? Like a, and they, it's worse than you even think because it's not, they don't even adjust for that difference. Like they don't even control for that. So
oh
it's just
God.
like a raw comparison. And it's like, do you think it might be the cocaine?
Yeah,
like, I don't know. I mean,
I'm just
like speculating. Or like, even if it wasn't the cocaine, like maybe it's the kind of people who use cocaine. You know, it's like,
pregnant.
Right, when they're pregnant, right? I mean, even at other times, but particularly when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
So
right.
So I think that like drawing conclusions based on data like that is just like very, is like useless. I mean, there's no information provided in that either way. Like it's just, that information is of no use to me. And so, yeah, that was what I found.
Did you find, has there been any sort of surprise and response to the book coming out?
So I think, you know, the response from the fetal alcohol syndrome lobby has been like much more vehement than I expected.
Wow, which I never even thought
about it's like
groups.
A kind of like naive thing to say, like maybe I should have expected that.
Right.
But, you know, I think people, there's this complicated issue about like if like some people drink to excess and we would like to not have that happen.
Yeah.
And even if you thought the truth is it's fine to have one every day, like one drink every day, it's definitely not fine to have like five.
Right.
And I think there's a set of people who think basically you should never say it's okay to have one because that will lead people to think it's fine to have five.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
or at
I don't
least
really
it'll
think
let people feel they can have one and some people can't control.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think this is a part of kind of thinking about, like, how are we treating people like adults and, you know, and also sort of comparing, thinking about, like, public policy versus just, like, what does the data say? So for me, the book is really about, like, what does the data say? And what the data says is if you just had one, it would be okay.
Right. You're not necessarily encouraging people to go have a drink.
Right.
Yeah, nor am I saying that the policy should be it's fine to have a drink. I mean, that's like wrapped up in sort of a much more complicated question about how the policy should relate to what the truth is.
Right.
But, you know, the book is really just about the data.
Which is so fascinating. I mean, it really is. It really covers it. I mean, you even take it back to the testing as soon as you get conception and then the tests that take place while you're pregnant all the way to delivery. But I do wonder, has this spawned more interest? Have you come across other things you wanted to explore now that you've had Penelope?
Yeah, I mean, you know, parenting is like a whole nother like thing. So, yeah, I mean, I sort of spent a bunch of time when Penelope was little on the issue of breastfeeding and sleep training. And, like, if I let my kid cry it out, like, was she going to be a sociopath? and, you know, again, just like in pregnancy, this is even worse with your kid. You know, it's like the internet is like either you have to, like, have the baby in your bed and never put them down ever. Or it's like you just leave them by themselves forever. So it's like somehow there's like surely there's like some happy medium here.
Yeah.
What I find so nice about the book is that the pressures that are out there on moms in general to basically not be allowed to make decisions from the moment you try to conceive until your child's like 15, maybe. Yeah. Maybe 15.
Maybe.
Especially the pressures of like breastfeeding and sleep. Everything becomes something that can be judged and something that should be questioned and something that should stress you out and worry you and drive you to drink. it's so nice to have the data and then to allow you to make your own decisions based on that. And I'm really surprised that it hadn't been attacked before. It's just really great.
Well, I'm like dying to know what you found out about like the sleep training and the breastfeeding stuff. But maybe we can expect another book or something.
Yes, maybe you can. I mean, maybe you can expect another book. I mean, I think with all of these things, like one thing that really sort of kind of crystallized all this, including the stuff after birth for me, is like this idea that somehow if you're not enjoying it, you must be doing it right, which I just think is like a terrible attitude that we seem to have adopted. Like if you would enjoy having a glass of wine, it probably means you hate your baby. It's like, well, no, I could like my baby and also be interested in doing this because I enjoy it because there is no risk. Yeah. And, you know, the same with a lot of this stuff. Like I'm happy to sacrifice and pump in my office six times a day like a cow if it's really important for my baby. But if it's not, I don't really want to do that. You know, that's like, and it doesn't like make me like my baby better just to have an unpleasant experience. And I think
that's right. Well, thank you so much, Emily, for coming on. And we're going to link everybody up to the book and to her Twitter and to the website and to all that kind of good stuff. But it really is a fascinatingly awesome book. And I learned so much more than just the alcohol thing. I'm sure everybody's like, tell me about the alcohol. But like, I know that I purposely held off on my Subway sandwiches because I just was like, fine, fuck it, deli meat, fine. And only wish I had read the book before I had sacrificed my love for Subway.
Well, maybe there are more children.
God, no. No. But thank you so much, and we will hopefully talk to you again.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
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 Brainwaves send a message, pick up the phone. When you like call.
I'm Brady Posey.
And I'm Tess Barker.
And we are Lady to Lady. Each week we talk about our crazy days, our crazy dates, and how perfectly normal and acceptable members of society we each are.
That's what we keep telling ourselves anyway.
Why do you guys both have cats in your purses? For every show, we pull up a fourth chair and invite another funny lady to hang out with us for an hour. We're new to Maximum Fun. You can find us on iTunes or MaximumFun.org.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
I have like such a like secret crush on her.
Yeah, she's amazing. We really should have had this on like back when we
I know, I know. To be perfectly honest, when I heard her on Planet Money and about the book, my first thought was, we'll never get her. I was like, this is so awesome. This is like so appropriate. Like, she's too big for, you know, one bad mother. And so I'm so glad that she was able to come on the show. And I cannot encourage people more to go check out the book or even just Google her, because there's a lot of great articles where she talks about this in Slate and The Atlantic and all kind of different publications. And again, I think she makes a really good point about that. It just seems to come up over and over again. Just because I want to enjoy these other things doesn't mean I want to enjoy my baby less.
Yeah.
And, you know,
or that like you have to suffer in order to prove love for your child, or in order to make your child have a happy childhood.
Right. And we also say, you know, I can be really mad about not making my cup of coffee in the morning, but that also doesn't mean that I love my child less. You know, like that's not, that frustration is not a reflection of how I feel about my child and wanting to do nice things and feeling guilty about that is also not a reflection of how I feel about my child. And so, you know, again, it's what we keep talking about. Just turn off the internet sometimes.
Yeah.
Or take it all with a grain of salt. Because it really is about, you know, are you happy? Is your child happy and well? Are the people in your life happy and well? then great.
Yeah.
Then you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
Speaking of doing a good job, everybody must be doing great. Very few rants. We have no rants this week. I do have a backlog of calls that I need to get through. So there may be some rants.
Really?
Lingering.
What have you been doing? And why haven't you had a chance to get through all those calls?
Some lingering crazies out there.
You've just been sitting around making cappuccino after cappuccino
watching
after cappuccino.
Justified over and over. I really wanted to take a picture of me editing last week's show with the baby in my lap while editing.
Yeah.
Going to be some great shows, guys. Looking forward to it.
I know. I think I posted one of our shows like while the baby cried.
Oh yeah,
and I was like, here you go, guys. This my baby had to cry so that you could have this show.
There's a show. We're just keeping it real for everybody. Once again, I really forgot. I thanked you all last week, but what I forgot to tell you all was what a great job you all are doing. Mm-hmm. And let's just take Emily's advice and not feel bad about. Enjoying life
and using your own judgment and what feels right to you for yourself and your own family.
That's right. Kids or no kids.
Yeah.
You know, we are all smart enough and we don't have to be, you know, we are allowed to make our own decisions.
Yeah.
And
come what may.
So we sit here and drink in the studio. Teresa, you are doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. So are you, Biz.
Hanging there through the sleep training.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.
I got to low down mama blues. I got to low down mama blues. Got to low down mama blues. Low down mama blues.
We'd like to thank Max Fun, Lindsay Pavlis, our engineer, our husbands Stefan Lawrence and Jesse Thorne, our perfect children who provide us with inspiration to say all these horrible things, and of course, you, our listeners. To find out more about the songs you heard on today's podcast and more about the show, please go to MaximumFun.org.
One Bad Mother is a member of the Maximum Fun family of podcasts. To support the show, visit MaximumFun.org and click on Donate.
Do you have a genius or fail moment you'd like to share on the show? Then leave us a message at 206-350-9485. Full-on rage-induced rants are also welcome.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist-owned.
Listener-supported.